Thank you. And for those of you who don't know, Kathy is our chairperson on our advisory council, our leadership team. So I wanted to start this morning by a scripture. This is a scripture, a declaration that's made both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And it's the way that I wanted to start 2022. Paul says this in Romans 10:15, referring to something written by the prophet Isaiah. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. Now, this isn't obviously a physical description of feet. It's not a person who has a foot fetish and is saying, hey, somebody has really beautiful feet if they bring good news. It's not something weird, strange like that. But it's saying people who are coming and bringing something beautiful. It's that description of, hey, this person, when they're coming, it's a good thing. It's good when they're coming. Because we all probably have some people in our lives who, man, when they're coming, it's a really good thing and we're excited. And maybe there's some other people who are coming, it's a little bit brace yourself kind of a thing. But this is about beautiful feet of those who bring the good news. And good news is welcome. So we're going to be doing this series called Something Beautiful. And we're going to be asking the question as we look at different writers and scripture of the Gospels, why did God use these people to bring something beautiful into the world? Now, we're going to start with a guy named Mark. Now, I was thinking about Mark, too. I remember one time talking to a pastor, and we were talking about how most people can't name, like, six disciples. And it's not a big deal if you can't name the like six of the 12 disciples. But he said, oh, that's easy. All you have, you got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then you can at least come up with two more. Now, just so you don't know, Mark was not one of the 12 disciples. So I say that, again, not because it's important to memorize a list of 12 disciples. But Mark, who wrote this, was actually not one of Jesus' 12 disciples. And he also, we don't even know if he was part of Jesus' ministry or not. He's not explicitly in the Gospels. The four Gospels, he wrote one of them, but he is not explicitly stated as one of the persons in the Gospels. But we do know that he knew some of the disciples who were involved in the New Testament, in the Gospels. And we're first introduced to him, not in the Gospels, but in the book of Acts, which is a history of the early church written by Luke, another one of the four gospel writers who was also not one of the 12, but he knew some of the guys who were part of the 12. So we have this, Mark's introduction, Acts 12:12. And it's Peter. He's just escaped from prison. An angel has let him out. And it says, Peter went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Now, when I was in college, I interned at a church as a youth leader of kids. And one of the kids in my group was named Daniel Richard Miller. You may not know my name, but my middle name is Richard. So we had not just the first and last, but we had all three names that were in common. So how do you distinguish between two people named Daniel Richard Miller? Well, what we did in our case was we went by our dads' names. Fortunately, we had different dads' names. So I was Dan, son of Dennis, and he was Dan, son of Bruce. So I still remember his dad. Never met his dad, but I still remember he was Dan, son of Bruce. And that's how we were identified. And it's something maybe kind of similar here, because we're first introduced to Mark as what? What's his name for first? John. And man, that's so good. Aren't you glad that we didn't keep calling him John? Because then there'd be Matthew, John, Luke, and John, right? The four of the Gospels. Half of them would be named John. Now, John are fine people. We even have a Saint John here. But fortunately, we can distinguish this Mark from this John Mark from John. But anyway, so here we have Mark. He comes into the story in Acts 12:12. He's barely in it here, but he really comes into the story in Acts 12:25. And this is what was happening. It says, when Barnabas and Saul had finished their mission, they returned from Jerusalem. Now we're going to stop there. So what's happened so far is that there was a church in Antioch, Syria, that was really a church that was doing well. It started just groundbreaking. There were leaders from all different sorts of countries, so there were different ethnicities. There were women in leadership, men in leadership, and Gentiles and Jews, and somehow it blended, and something really beautiful happened in Antioch. And it was really good. And they even didn't just care about themselves, but they heard there were some problems in Jerusalem. There was a famine. So the church in Antioch, Syria, decided to take up an offering, and they delivered it all the way to Jerusalem to give to the people there. So that's what Barnabas and Saul were doing. Their mission was to go deliver some financial aid to the people, the church in Jerusalem. And then after they returned, then they decided they were going to go on a world tour. And so they were going to try something new. This is the first missionary journey that Paul took with Barnabas, and they also took John Mark. So we see that. This is a very historic journey that happened because this was one of the first times that we know of where there was a big plan to take the gospel far and wide. And so we know Barnabas was there, Saul was there, who we call Paul, and then John Mark was with them. They started by going to the island of Cyprus, just off the coast there of Israel. And so they went there. That was Barnabas' home island. They battled a false prophet, and there was a government official who came to believe in Christ. And then this happened. So they got off to a pretty decent start. We know a little bit what was going on, and then this happened in Acts 13:13. From Paphos, Paul and his companions sailed to Perga and Pamphylia, where John left them to return to Jerusalem. Now that sentence right there that John left them, and that's John Mark, left them, it doesn't seem like a big deal to us. It's just one little sentence. He went back home, but it became a really big deal later because they had a successful missionary journey and they did some more things and then they decided to go on a second journey. Paul and Barnabas, they'd been through a whole lot together. Barnabas had recruited Paul into the church at Antioch. They'd been to Jerusalem. They traveled together. They were great friends. But this happened in Acts 15, 37 through 38. Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. But Paul did not think it was wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. And right here, this is where Paul and Barnabas, again, they're like peanut butter and jelly. Like they just really go together. These two guys who were two musketeers. And here is where the partnership breaks off. Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, decides to follow Paul the rest of the way. So what happens to Barnabas? Barnabas had been really important in the story of Acts and the early church, but what happens to them after Paul and Barnabas break up? And the answer is, we don't really know. Because Luke doesn't follow Barnabas' story. He follows Paul's story, so we don't really know. We don't get the story picked back up on what Barnabas and Mark did. So even though we don't know what happened to Barnabas, we do know a little bit of something that happened to Mark. And it's because of other letters that we have that Paul and Peter wrote. This is what Peter wrote in 1 Peter 5:13. She who is in Babylon, chosen together with you, sends her greetings, and so does my son Mark. Now, this was written after this missionary journey. This was written after Paul accused Mark of deserting him and wouldn't let him back in. And Paul and Barnabas broke up over Mark and Barnabas wanting to bring Mark with them. But apparently Mark went and found Peter. We know he already had a relationship. Peter knew him. Peter knew his mom. And so they were back together. And Mark and Peter had this really close relationship, apparently, from Peter calling him his son, Mark. In 30 AD, there was an early church father named Papias who claimed that the Gospel of Mark, written by our John Mark, was actually the words of Peter that Mark wrote down. And there were other early church fathers who claimed this. So we ascribe the Gospel of Mark to actually being Peter's words and Mark writing down. So imagine this. If Mark had stayed with Paul, would we ever have the Gospel of Mark? And the answer is, we don't know. Now, most scholars think that Mark was the first gospel written, and that Matthew and Luke both used Mark as a source. They have a lot in common that seem to come from Mark. So a lot of people think that's the first gospel probably that was written. For a while, that's all people really had was the Gospel of Mark. It was Peter's account of Jesus' life. And yet, perhaps it would not have been written if Mark had gone with Peter. Now, if Mark had stayed with Paul. Now, I've got to, how do you think the split between Paul and Barnabas affected Mark? Sometimes we just think of these people as historical figures and we forget that they were people too. But can you imagine how this would have affected Mark from the rest of his life? Now, he was related to Barnabas, so here he was. And Barnabas had this really close relationship with Mark. And because of that close relationship, it broke up Paul and Barnabas. Because of Mark, Barnabas didn't get to go on the other missionary adventures with Paul. Paul, the revered, the respected church leader, had accused Mark basically of being a coward, of deserting them. He didn't want anything to do with them. So he had that criticism from a highly respected figure in Paul. So imagine how that painful split had affected Mark. Now we know it led to something beautiful because of it, he probably wrote the Gospel of Mark. And as I was thinking about this, one of the songs that came to me was a song that we sang in our church when I was a kid. And it went like this. And I think this really fits Mark. Something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, he understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife. But he made something beautiful of my life. So there's this strife, there's this conflict that happened, and it was really disappointing at the time. Paul and Barnabas splitting up would have been just catastrophic to so many people, so disappointing. And to Mark being the cause of it, he would have been blamed for so much. And yet, God took that and took even him getting homesick and going home, and Paul being upset with him, and he did something beautiful with it. Now, if all we had was that Mark wrote the Gospel of Mark and after he sort of caused a split between Paul and Barnabas, that's something really great. But there's more. We have more from Paul's writings. Paul wrote well after this first missionary journey. Listen to these words in Colossians 4:10. My fellow prisoner, Aristarchus, sends you his greeting, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Now, if we're just reading this, sometimes it may seem like just a name, just a throwaway line. But in light of their relationship and in light of what had happened, in light of the split, these are really, really powerful words. We don't know how. We don't get to hear the story. But at some point, Paul and Mark had reconciled. Going on, Paul in Colossians mentions 8 companions. He goes down to 5 in the book of Philemon, but he says this in Philemon verses 23 and 24. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings. And so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. So there he is, 8 down to 5. And then in what we believe is Paul's final letter in the New Testament, 2 Timothy, he pares down even more. And he gets down to only one left with him. Listen to this line in 2 Timothy 4:10. For Demas, now, Demas isn't a real familiar name in churches, but maybe you remember it because we just mentioned his name, because he was one of the five who was with Paul when Paul wrote Philemon. But Paul says, for Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me. Now, once again, somebody has let Paul down. You kind of wonder, does this stir up his memories about Mark and how Mark left him and Paul, him and Barnabas? But here we go. Paul again talks about being deserted by Demas. Then he goes on to say in the next verse, 2 Timothy 4:11, only Luke is with me. So he only has one person left. He's gone from 8 to 5 down to one with him. But in these probably final days that Paul has, he wants some other companions. He's feeling lonely. He's asking for more people to come to him. The first person that he mentions as wanting to come is Timothy, which makes sense. Timothy had been really, really close to Paul. After all, this letter is called 2 Timothy, right? It's going to Timothy, so Paul's writing it saying, Timothy, please come. Please bring my stuff and come and see me. But it's not only Timothy that Paul wanted to see. There's one other person, and I bet you people can guess who that other person that Paul wants to see. He says, get Mark and bring him with you, because he is helpful to me in my ministry. In the final days, Paul is surrounded by Luke. Luke had stayed with him, and he asked for Timothy, and he asked for Mark, because Mark was helpful to him. Now, early on, we asked that question, why would God use Mark to be one of the messengers to bring the gospel, the good news? Why did God choose, what about Mark's feet were beautiful? Why was he one of those messengers chosen to write one of the four gospels about Jesus? What was it in his character? What qualities did he have? Well, let's look at Acts 13:5. And this is before they set out for the first missionary journey with Paul, Barnabas, and Mark. But it says this, John Mark was with Paul and Barnabas as their, go ahead and say it, helper. You see, at the very beginning, Mark was known as a helper. And at the very end, Paul wanted him back because he was helpful. There was something, Mark was helpful. Mark was a person who was looking to be helpful. We don't know if he was a church leader. We don't know if he ever taught any lessons. He was a person who was a helper. We know he was helpful to Peter. Peter called him a son, and he probably wrote Peter's gospel down. He was helpful. Paul considered him very helpful. Sometimes when you hear somebody who's a helper, what do you think? Hey, I'm a helper. A lot of times when people say I'm a helper, they even put two words in front of it. I'm just a helper, right? That person's the real teacher. I'm just a helper. That's it. Well, Mark was just a helper. He was a person who was helpful. And I think in life, as we think about people in our lives who've been helpful, there's no justa if a person is helpful. When there's a person who is helpful, that person is a treasure. Mark became so treasured to Paul that he was demanding him in his last days because he wanted the help from Mark. Mark was helpful. So as we look at this, I think, you know, the Holy Spirit will say whatever. It doesn't really matter what I have to say that much, because it's really what God says to you and not what I say. And hopefully, one of the things we count on, it's why we pray, it's why Kathy came up and prayed before this message, is because we hope that whatever God says through anyone who speaks here is that it'll kind of go through an interpreter and get scrambled, and then the Holy Spirit will use it to say something to you. And it may be something totally different than even getting said or what the point is. But as I look at it, if I were to give two suggestions, a suggestion on how to apply this message and thinking about how to really give the world something beautiful, how to get caught up in something beautiful this year. One, the obvious one is look to be helpful. Always look for the helpers. I think that was in a Mr. Rogers documentary too. I believe he said his mom taught him, whenever there's lots of trouble, whenever things are going wrong, look for the people who are helpers. So one of the things that we can do is look to be helpful. There's a note that's on our refrigerator. It's been up there for almost 2 years. Kind of at the beginning of the pandemic, I think, Jenny heard a message. And so that's been looking at us for a couple of years. What, that question, what can I do to help? Because let me tell you, if you ask this question and you mean it, you're going to be very valuable. People are going to want you around. You're going to really be a part of something beautiful and something good if you're just simply looking how to help and even asking that question, what, is there anything I can do to help? What can I do to help? The second one is you might need to be helped. You might need to receive help from people. Peter received help from Mark. He seemed pretty awesome, right? Jesus' right-hand man who heard the words, on this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. That was Peter, Jesus' seemingly right-hand man, and he needed Mark's help. And Paul, who got frustrated with Mark, needed Mark's help in the end. And if you, one of the things that I want you to hear, if you are a helper, and I'm looking at some helpers right now, you may just think that you're a helper and no one should ever have to help you, but you may need to receive some help too. Because we're made not just to only be helpers, but sometimes to need help as well. The Beatles had a song about this, right? When I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way, right? But then as we mature, sometimes we learn we can't do it all on our own. It's especially true of church. It's not one people or a few people. It's not just the leaders or the volunteers. It's so many people. We need so much help. So that may be the thing. It might be humbling yourself and asking for help or receiving help from someone who offers it. That could be a thing. Because here's the thing, especially if you're a helper, it's a blessing for somebody else to help you. I know I always feel so blessed if there's a really helpful person, and for once, they let you help them. So you may need to hear that part of it this morning. We all need help, though. We all need help. Jesus recognized our need for help. When he was talking about the Holy Spirit, this is what Jesus said in John 14:16. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. You may think that you may not need anybody's help in any way, but Jesus said that you do. And Jesus said, help will be given to whoever asks for help too. It's really as simple as that, that if we're open to help, if we're humble, if we seek help from the Lord, we can lift our eyes and the help comes from the Lord. The Spirit of God is looking to help those who desire the help. If you want help from the Holy Spirit, I want to encourage you to pray with me this morning. This is a prayer of following Jesus. If you've never made that decision or asked the Lord to help you, to be your Savior or the Holy Spirit to help you, today's a great time to do it for the first time. If you've never been baptized, we're planning on baptizing some people this year. We're hoping and praying that the Lord will use us to do that. So maybe that's you for this year, if you've never been baptized. And if maybe you've been following Christ for a long time and it's just to say, Lord, I help, just like every day I need your help. Or maybe, you know, I haven't been asking for help and I know I need it right now. Wherever you are, this is a prayer of asking for, confessing our need for help, our need for a Savior, and seeking the help from the Holy Spirit. So will you just pray quietly with me these prayers from Scripture? Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. And I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. I ask for you to give me the Holy Spirit to help me and be with me forever. Give me the grace and strength I need to ask for help and use my life to be helpful to others as you make something beautiful and something good out of our lives. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark, it didn't seem like he was the guy who was trying to do anything great. Mark was simply trying to be helpful. And yet God used him to make a significant contribution to the greatest story ever told. Imagine the beautiful things that God can do from people who are just simply looking to be helpful. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we lift up our eyes to where our help comes from. Our help comes from the Lord. And we seek the Helper, the Holy Spirit, to lead us to follow Jesus in a way that leads to something beautiful and something good. Life can be messy and relationships are complicated. And you understand our confusion and can take what is broken and make it beautiful. Please use us to be Christ's ambassadors, living out the ministry of reconciliation. In Jesus' name, amen.